Welcome to Talks from the Bible. We thank you for listening to our program this day. We pray that you will listen each week to Talks from the Bible, each weekday, Monday through Friday at 6:55 a.m., and again this Sunday afternoon at 5:15 p.m. We are thankful that you give a listening ear to these words that we speak. We pray that Talks from the Bible will bless your life and will help you in your walk with God. If we can do anything for you in a spiritual way or even in a physical way, please call upon us. We read from 1 Timothy 3, verse 16, "And without controversy great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Paul states God's great mystery of godliness. This great mystery was God's plan of salvation for all of humanity. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. This was a great plan, a great act, and this is without controversy. All that God does is great. The creation of the world was great. The sending of Christ into the world certainly was great. This act expressed God's great love, God's deep grace for lost humanity. The mystery is that which was concealed until the time of its revelation to the world. God had planned for the coming of Christ. God, in His infinite wisdom, had foreseen the fall of man even before the foundation of the world was laid. And God planned to send a Redeemer into the world. This was God's mystery. And at a time appointed to the mind of God, this mystery was revealed. Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, in the fullness of God's time, Jesus Christ came into the world." God had a specific moment in history when He would send the Redeemer into the world. Ephesians 1, verse 10, "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him." In the dispensation of the fullness of time, the time when God chose to act, the moment when God chose to bring His Son into the world. 1 Peter 1:20, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." The Apostle Peter is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice which He made for humanity. He speaks of the redemption that we have in Christ by His precious blood. But that sacrifice of blood that would cleanse the sin of the world was foreordained, pre-planned, even before the foundation of the world. But in these last times, in this last dispensation, God would send His Son into the world and perform His great act of loving kindness toward us. In the fullness of the time, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, manifest in these last times for you, speaks of the revelation of God's mystery. The mystery of God was revealed at God's chosen time. The mystery was God's plan to redeem humanity. The Apostle Paul explains this great mystery of godliness. He says, first, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest. God came in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not an ordinary child that was born, but rather Jesus was God in the flesh. In John 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John, in the introduction to his gospel, refers to Jesus Christ as the Word. Perhaps he referred to him as the Word because Jesus would speak the words of human redemption. Jesus was referred to by John as the Word because he would speak that marvelous truth by which the heart of humanity is to come unto God and to know God. Jesus Christ revealed God's plan for humanity. He teaches us how to live, how to walk. He presents unto us the standard by which we are to live our life and the moral code for our conduct. The Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ became flesh. God became flesh. And God in fleshly form dwelt among us. Jesus lived among men. He walked among men. He taught men, conversed with men, healed men. God lived where we live. He walked upon His footstool, which He had created, the earth. And we beheld His glory. They were able to see Him. Their eyes beheld Him. Their ears heard Him speak. Their hands touched Him. John was one of those close companions of the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a disciple of Jesus so that he could learn of Jesus and so that he could know God. We must become the disciples of Jesus Christ. We must seek to follow Christ so that we might know Him. And when we open the Word of God and we read, we can behold the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of God, through the life of Christ. John says, the Word was made flesh, the Word lived among us. We beheld His glory, which was the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ came to the earth, having been born of God. That which was conceived by Mary was conceived by the power of the Highest and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Luke chapter 1. Jesus was God in the flesh. Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It is Paul's design that we have the mind of God. He wanted the church at Philippi to have the mind of God, the disposition of Christ. He wants us to follow the example of Christ. We must come to know Christ so that we can follow Him and walk in His steps and become like Him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, Jesus was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ was equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ was in the form of God. This is before His coming to the earth. He was equal with God, but Jesus willingly took upon Himself human flesh. He came in the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ was like you and me. He was in fleshly form. He was in flesh and blood. He felt pain. He knew sorrow. He experienced hunger and thirst. Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil, as you and I are tempted of the devil. As our life is, so was the life of Jesus Christ upon the earth. He humbled Himself even to the point that He became obedient unto death, not just any death, not some ordinary death, but the death of the cross, This was the obedience of Christ to the will of God. And that mind of obedience, that mind of sacrifice, that mind of humility must be the mind that we possess. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, "For there is one God, and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus." Here the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and refers to Jesus Christ as a man. Men are in the flesh. Men live upon the earth. God lived and dwelt among men in human flesh upon the earth as Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2:8, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." While the important precept of the gospel and the plain and simple teaching of the gospel is the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead, Paul wanted Timothy to remember that Jesus Christ came from the seed of David. Jesus Christ came through the seed line of David. David was that Old Testament character that had been chosen of God to sit upon the throne of Israel. That throne would ultimately represent the great throne of Christ, the eternal throne of the eternal kingdom, which Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, would establish. Remember that Jesus Christ came from the seed of David. This is simply another reference to the human form of God that he took upon himself as he came to the earth. Hebrews 2, 14 and 17. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Jesus Christ partook of flesh and blood. He was made like unto his brethren. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The beginning of God's plan to redeem humanity was the manifestation of himself in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. That is without controversy. That is without debate. That is one of the great acts that God has performed. God is great in all of his activity, in all that he does, in all that he says. Let us take heed to the word of God. Let us listen carefully to the words which God speaks. God was manifest in the flesh. God was justified in the Spirit. Jesus Christ was justified by the Spirit of God. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptizer is baptizing in the wilderness near the River Jordan. It was necessary that John baptize at this place in the river because baptism requires water. Baptism is a burial in water. Baptism cannot be performed by sprinkling or by pouring, but rather baptism must be immersion. It must be a burial. For it is likened unto the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Read carefully Romans chapter 6. As John is baptizing, Jesus comes unto him. Jesus has now grown into manhood. From a child, from an infant, Jesus has achieved manhood. He is about the age of 30 years, and he comes to John. He comes to John desiring to be baptized, so that, as Jesus said, to fulfill all righteousness. We fulfill all the righteousness of God when we are baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Romans chapter 6. The scripture says concerning this event in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus Christ, when he was baptized, came up straightway out of the water, indicating that baptism is a burial, an immersion, a covering in water. And as he comes forth from the water, having been baptized by John, the heavens were opened unto him. Imagine this marvelous scene. Imagine the greatness of God's glory being displayed upon this occasion. Indeed, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is the greatest act that has ever been performed in the history of humanity. The mystery of godliness was greater than the creation of the earth. The mystery of godliness indeed was great. The heavens were opened unto him, and Jesus Christ saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus Christ as he was baptized. And a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God announced his pleasure in Jesus Christ. Jesus was the chosen one, the anointed one, the Messiah that was sent into the world to redeem humanity through the grace of God and love of God. What an amazing act! Jesus Christ is now justified in the Spirit, for the Spirit descends upon him, and God acknowledges him as the one to whom, in whom he is well pleased. In Matthew 4 and verse 1, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now Jesus, following his baptism, is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he will be tempted of the devil. The devil will tempt him in all points like as we are, yet Jesus will be without sin. In John 3, verse 34, For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Spirit of God was given unto Jesus Christ, through whom God had spoken his words. Jesus spoke the words of God by the Spirit that he now possessed. Matthew 12, 26 through 28, Jesus is engaged in an activity of healing. There is a man who needs the help of God, the mercy of Christ. He is possessed of a demon. Demon possession was common in the days of Christ. And we see on various occasions where Jesus cast forth these demons that inhabited the human life. Upon this occasion, Jesus cast a demon. But the Pharisees accuse him of casting out this demon by the power of Satan. Regardless of what Jesus did, regardless of what miracle was performed, regardless of what great act Jesus did, the Pharisees simply refused to believe on him. Upon this occasion, they acknowledged this great power to the power of the devil, for they could not deny what had been done. They could not deny that the spirit which inhabited the heart of this man had been cast from him. Jesus responds to this accusation, and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. There were two explanations to this miracle that Jesus performed. Either he had cast out the devil by the power of Satan, or he had cast out the devil by the Spirit of God. They claimed that Jesus had cast out the spirit by the power of Satan. Jesus says, therefore, then Satan is divided against himself. I am working against Satan. If I have cast out the demon which came from Satan by the very power of Satan, then his kingdom is divided, and as a result, will not stand. How do your children cast out demons? What is their judgment? If I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. The very fact that Jesus was able to cast out this demon by the power of God's Spirit was an evidence that the kingdom of God had come unto them. God was bringing His kingdom into the world through Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was able to cast out demons. He was able to perform various acts of mercy upon different human beings by this great Spirit that now possessed the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was justified in the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 33, the Apostle Peter is preaching that great sermon at Pentecost. He says in this particular passage, "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear." Jesus Christ had received from the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. The promise was that He would come into the world. He would suffer death upon the cross of Calvary. He would conquer death in His resurrection from the grave. He would ascend into the heavens and be seated at the right hand of the throne of God, with everyone being made subject unto Him. The gospel had come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Read carefully Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ is justified in the Spirit. The mystery of godliness is that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, and seen of angels. Jesus Christ was seen of angels. There are different accounts of that relationship that Jesus had with angels recorded in the gospel accounts of His life. These accounts are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here we read of the life of Christ, and we read how He was seen of angels. The angelic host of heaven manifested themselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ on various occasions in the life of Christ. In Luke 1, 26-28, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." The angel Gabriel comes to Mary, who is espoused or engaged to Joseph. Joseph is of the house of David. This virgin's name was Mary. And the angel announced to her that she had been favored by God. An angel announced the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When Jesus was born, the angelic host announced that birth. The angel Gabriel had announced the conception of Christ in the womb of the young Virgin Mary. Now Jesus is born, and an angel announces His birth to those shepherds which are keeping watch over their flocks in the fields. In Matthew chapter 4, we read of the temptation of Jesus by the devil. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil following his baptism, as we read previously. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, we read of the temptations with which Satan tried to entice the Christ so that he might be separated from God his Father. Jesus was able to answer all of those temptations. He gave in to none of those temptations. We are commanded and taught in Ephesians 4, verse 27, that we are to neither give place unto the devil. As Jesus did not allow the devil to enter into his life, so we are not to allow the devil to enter into our life. But as Jesus was tempted, and the devil leaveth him, Matthew 4:11, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus had been fasting in the wilderness, and now he goes through the trial of these temptations presented by Satan. Angels came and ministered unto him. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 43, Jesus has gone into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before his death upon the cross. He has eaten the Passover feast with his disciples. He has given them the bread and the cup that would come into his kingdom as the Lord's Supper, the reminder of that death of which we partake each first day of the week. And now Jesus departs and he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. We remember that scene, Luke chapter 22, where Jesus prays to the Father in deep agony of the soul. And the Bible says there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. In this hour of agony, when Jesus understands that the time of his death has come, and he prays unto the Father, seeking to gain strength that he might endure that horrible, painful death, an angel comes and strengthens him. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 through 6, following the death of Jesus upon the cross and his burial in the tomb, the women come to that tomb early in the morning on the first day of the week. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. An angel removes the stone from the tomb where the body of Jesus has been laid. And the angel announces to the women who have come that Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. Acts 1:10 through 11. Jesus has brought his disciples to the mountain where he will ascend into heaven back to his heavenly Father and be seated upon the throne where he now reigns and rules. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. As Jesus ascended, the angels announced that he would come again. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. When Jesus comes in the glory of the Father the second time, he will come with his mighty angels. Indeed, Jesus was seen of angels. The angel announced the birth, the conception. The angel announced the birth. The angel ministered unto Jesus following his temptation. The angel strengthened him as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. The angel announced the resurrection of Christ from the dead. The angel announced the coming of Christ to judge the world. And angels will surround him when he comes in the glory of the Father to judge all of humanity. great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. The remaining part of this great verse of Scripture we will discuss next Sunday morning. Thank you for listening to Talks from the Bible. This is brought to you by the Church of Christ, located at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.